This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor at worldsweeper.com, and I have on the phone with me Christy Schmidt, who is president of Cincinnati-based Chamberlain Power Sweeping. Hi, Christy.
Hi, Ranger.
Chamberlain Power Sweeping has been chosen to be our contractor of the month for June 2009, and that's a congratulations are in order for that.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Well deserved. And Christy, you've been in business since 1994. We know that you service the greater Cincinnati area, and why don't I let you talk a little bit about the background of the business and how you got started in sweeping and maybe some of the other things that you do besides sweeping, but go ahead.
Okay, well, we got started in March of 1994. My husband and I own a paving company, Blue Chip Pavements. So obviously we work with a lot of property owners and managers. Back then, there were two other, you know, bigger sweeping companies in the market, and they, a particular management company, had dealt with everybody, and they liked what we did on the paving, and they kept encouraging us to go into business. So we did. We bought the truck that they had taken over the sweeping for themselves. And so we bought their piece of equipment and started sweeping the two centers that they had here locally, and then we just started selling accounts. So that's how we got into it. We were asked to get into it.
And until that time, for your paving, you had somebody else do the sweeping as your prep work for your paving, obviously. Today, do you also do street-type sweeping, construction sweeping?
We do some light construction sweeping. We do some streets, like residential neighborhoods. We don't own equipment to get out on, you know, the what I call the big roads, you know, traffic lights and things like that, because they have to have a broom on both sides. We don't specialize. We're up here with contracts, and so we do all that.
So your primary business is in the parking lot sweeping business?
Yes.
Okay. Well, how many sweepers do you have in operation currently?
We run three lot sweepers and three tow behind sweepers,
mm-hmm.
and we rotate them. We got into adding the tow behinds because of fuel.
Mm-hmm.
I think we may have been the first ones to buy a tow behind.
And these were the tow backs that are now the Victory T500s.
Yes.
I think that's a good area for us
equipment.
To... Pardon me?
We have six.
Okay.
Thanks, total we send out.
Mm-hmm. Let's, why don't we... launch right into talking about that a little bit. I've heard from contractors around the country, and of course the recession is not new news anymore. It's one of those things for us all to try to get through. With declining willingness and ability of property managers to pay for sweeping and other services, the cost of sweeping certainly comes to the fore. What was behind your decision to give tow behind a try?
Reducing our fuel costs. And we've had tow behinds since they came out, and there was a lot of resistance in the beginning. And in fact, even resistance within our company to use them. But once, you know, you really get the hang of it, we still have to have big trucks on the lot. You know, you're not going to replace a big truck as far as its ability to do curb lines and make everything tight. But just picking up litter and things like that, the tow behind is great, and in fact, I find a lot of stuff that gets caught in your tube, you can get up with a tow behind, and you don't have to worry about it. So we got into it just to help offset the cost of repairs on the big trucks, because
mm-hmm.
I kind of feel like big trucks are prima donnas, they're expensive, and they have a lot of moving pieces that break down. If fuel prices have increased over the years, then it became the focal point for using those. It became... to try to reduce our cost of fuel, because that's our number one cost besides tires is fuel.
Mm-hmm. And do you find that it takes any longer to sweep with a tow behind than it does with a traditional chassis-mounted air sweeper?
Depends on what you're sweeping. There's a lot more handwork. They don't do well on curb lines. You've got to blow the curb
mm-hmm.
lines out.
And I would think the same thing with parking bumpers. You can only get
yeah.
so close.
But you can't get really the truck, you know, bumper blocks have spaces in between.
Mm-hmm.
And the truck can't get those either. You got to blow those out with a blower. So that, you know, anytime you get out of your truck, it's going to take longer to do a job.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have to get out of your truck more often with a pull behind? Yes. but the cost is substantially less. So.
And we're talking about two types of cost here. One is the fuel cost, which is your ongoing cost of doing business and of doing the lots, but also the payment stream is to be a fraction of what it is with a chassis-mounted sweeper, too. So that's another area you can be more competitive in your pricing, I would think.
But, you know, you're going to be on the lots longer.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to do
your numbers to see what those differences are. Do you do anything like run two people with the tow behind, whereas you only run one with a chassis mounted, or anything like that? What have you discovered about operating a tow behind versus operating air sweepers?
Well, we don't put two people in a truck unless we're training someone.
Mm-hmm.
We might have two trucks on a lot, or we also have a guy who runs through the night and is kind of it's the sweeping, our supervisor, and he acts as a support. So he'll get out on the lot, empty cans, and blow randomly throughout all of our routes.
Mm-hmm.
So he will be on the lot, too, a lot of times with the tow behind, but we also have him on the lot, you know, with a larger truck, too. So specifically, no, we don't have to run two people to do that, because we don't put the tow behind on certain lots. We just don't even send us. You know, we have some big malls. We don't really put that out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's part of determining what's cost-effective and what makes sense. And I think the idea here to bring out is that you're doing a mix of tow-behinds and air sweepers, too. So you can alternate that out as you see fit, because you're going to have fines that are left behind by the tow-behinds. But I have been very impressed with their ability to pick up. You're right. There was a lot of industry resistance, I think, at the beginning, and now they're being embraced as maybe the next way to do routine parking lot sweeping.
Yeah, you know what I've found. We've been in it 15 years. There's not been a substantial increase in what you can charge to sweep a parking lot from 15 years ago when we got in it. I mean, it's not like pricing has doubled while all of our expenses, you know, have increased. What you can charge per lot is not commensurate with what it costs you to do the lot. And so part of it's just educating your workforce. And, you know, of course, customers like to see the large sweeper trucks, but they don't understand the large sweeper trucks are $70,000, $80,000, and the cost of maintaining them is huge. And what you can charge for a lot is not. So to buy another truck, you have to have a pretty good route to support that, whereas you can start another route with a tow behind, and then as it gets built up, then you can run a bigger truck. You know, you can run that truck in and out of a route.
Sure, as needed.
Does that make sense to you?
It does indeed. I think that more and more contractors, from what I see, are recognizing that this is a kind of a breakthrough technology that is less money. The cost of ownership in terms of purchasing is lower, the cost of operation is lower, and it's kind of an ideal current solution for declining prices. So
the problem that I see,
mm-hmm,
is if a lot of people, since we've started, have, you know, gotten into sweeping. Landscapers, anybody that deals with property management companies on a regular basis, oh, I can do that. But they don't recognize the true cost that it's going to be. So they come in and then they drive the markets down. And I would hate to see a lot of people get into sweeping with tow behinds and wreck sweeping market even more.
Yeah, I understand, and that's why one of the reasons.
Well, I'm talking about it, I'm like, I don't even really know if I want this to come.
Well,
out.
At the same time, I think it's important that you have air sweepers that are part of your backup system. And, the air sweepers need to be run periodically on all of these routes, because otherwise you're going to have a lot of track in by your malls. You'll have more slip and fall likelihood. Because you're leaving this fine material, a savvy property manager also knows that if you just have somebody with only a tow behind, your line striping is going to go away faster, your pavement quality is going to be degraded over time, and you really need somebody such as yourself that has the mixture between air sweepers and the tow-behind mechanical sweepers. They do a fine job from what I've seen as litter getters, but they're not going to pick up that stuff in between the pavement cracks, and pretty soon that spills over to the top surface of the pavement. And with that as a caveat, I think.
Yeah, you have to run them. You have to run them in tandem.
You have to run them in tandem. Yeah, or alternating.
Our big trucks go on all of our lots. Even like you can run a tow behind and then run, you know, and then you only hit a lot once a month. You have to really intersperse them. But I think sweeping's weird. Everyone says they want. Oh, I really want this to look great, but nine times out of ten, it really gets down to price. I feel like we're the best sweepers in our market. I do. Employee retention is very high. Customer retention is high. We're not the biggest, but I feel like we're the best at what we do because we're not spread too thin. Still, I find once we get a customer, we tend to retain them. Getting them can be a little bit more of a challenge because they don't want to pay. If you have a Kmart and they want to pay you $20, well, it's not going to look like, you know.
But it'll look like a $20 job.
Yeah.
And you can't afford, going back to pricing and new people coming into the market, say with only a tow behind and not the product knowledge, service knowledge that you bring to the table, you as Chamberlain Sweeping can't afford to do a $20 Kmart because people will point to that and say, well, yeah, there's an example of what Chamberlain does. And you can't afford to do a good job at that kind of pricing.
What you also run into is if for some reason you lose a job overpriced, which we had a job we've had for a very long time, one of our first jobs, and we lost it overpriced. And, of course, my other property managers knew we did that. When we lost it, the quality went down. And they're like, hey, are you doing, and I'm not going to say the name of the place, XYZ, and I'm like, no. And they're like, oh, good, because it doesn't look as good. And they, you know, they're like, and you're still doing mine. Oh, my God, what's going on with you? I'm like, no, we're not doing that. Now, did we get that job back? Yes. The contract ran out, and we did get the job back. Mm-hmm. Did we end up getting it back at a lesser price? Yeah, but, and we, you know, we could do it. But you do run into that where you are, in today's market, either forced to reduce your price or let it go. And then there are other jobs, you know, another job we lost, we were better, but somebody came in and undercut substantially. And you just let it, you just let it go. And you know that, you know, when it runs out or they get sick and tired of it enough, they'll come back.
And sometimes you just have to bite the bullet and do that exact thing. One of the things I want to make sure people recognize out of what you just said, to put a little emphasis on, is that property managers are very tuned into each other in a market area. So they know who's doing this kind of work. They talk about who's doing their work for them, whether it's paving or sweeping or whatever it is. So, you know, don't think that these guys aren't going to notice a difference in quality and so forth. At the same time, when you say, yes, they like to see a big truck on their lot, they do. But the fact is that most of the time, they're not there to see it.
No. Generally, with malls and things, they have security so that, you know, they know. And, you know, if somebody has a request, then we try to honor it. If you can run a tow back on a lot and they can see that it's going to look just as good, they're okay with it. You have to just kind of, you know, get them past the fear of it because people who don't use it don't have a lot of good things to say about it. And
mm-hmm.
they forget at the same time. I don't want any Joe Schmo out there going, oh, I'm going to buy one of those, you know, tow behinds and I'll be in business because
mm-hmm.
then that wrecks the market even further because they don't know. It takes a long time. There is a learning curve associated with it.
And plus you do need to intersperse. Okay, well, that covers that topic. One thing I want to put emphasis on also that you said is that your managers, your supervisors, don't hesitate to get out of their truck and lend a hand. And that is, I think, a critical piece of information for a company to think about. A lot of times the supervisors, they've worked themselves up to that position and they're above putting their hands on a backpack blower or otherwise assisting, and that needs to not be the case.
No, I have a great sweeping superintendent. He's been with me for a long time. And if he gets sick, you know, it's like star prayer chain. he is wonderful. And one of the things that I do is he has total ability to hire and fire. I don't interfere with his management decisions of basically everybody else underneath him, because he's the one that has to take up the slack. If somebody doesn't show up to work, he's the one that's going to be sweeping that route. If somebody needs to take a vacation, he's the one that has to juggle it all. If somebody calls in with a complaint, 9 times out of 10, you can't get a hold of that driver to come back in. He would be the one that handles it. So while we don't have very many complaints, if we have one, the superintendent's the one that's going to address it. So I feel like you have to empower the people who work next level to hire and fire. And when we put an ad in the paper, I interview all the candidates. I pick out who I think are the top 5 or 10, depending on the position. Weed through them, and then get it down to a number. Then he comes in and interviews them, and he ultimately makes the decision. Even if I like somebody a little better, I'll tell him why maybe I like them. But he decides, because he's the one that has to deal with them, and he's the one that really has a good handle on who he thinks is going to work and who's not. And he's usually right.
That's a very good point. And in terms of that kind of empowerment, I want to bring up to contractors out there listening as well that how important that is, and also it's important to recognize that when you delegate some kind of work to somebody, their processes may well be completely different from yours or substantially different from yours, but if you get to the same end result, that's actually a strength of your company, not a weakness, because it makes you more broad-based in your company decision-making. A lot of times, I know owners and supervisors may take exception to the different way that somebody does the job, even though they get to the same conclusion in the same amount of time. And often you're in less amount of time because it's a more creative way to do things. So, what other types of things can we talk about your company? Are there other things that you do that you think are, put you ahead of the pack?
Well, I think we're a good company to work for. Like I said, we have a very good track record for employee retention. And I think because we have good employee retention, we have good account retention. We're not trying to be the biggest, because to control, that's a lot of moving pieces. So we can really concentrate and do well at what we do. We're very big on customer contact and not being on the defensive. We try to be on the offensive. Meaning, you know, we let our customers know if their kids hanging out on their parking lots, if there's graffiti, you know, lights out, whatever, because they're not on their lots at night. They have no idea what goes on. If their car's parked, you know, I'll email them and go, hey, there's, you know, 5 or, you know, cars. I mean, I don't call them and go, there's one, but, you know, we couldn't get to this area because there are cars parked here, or there was a delivery truck or whatever, so that when they call in, they're not going, well, why does this part of my lot not look right? Well, we've already sent them an email, so they know. Because if they have to call you and you have an explanation, you're automatically on the defensive.
Right.
So we try to pass on whatever we know so that we're not kind of caught on our back foot. We learned that the hard way, you know, many, many years ago. You know, if you keep everybody informed, then they're pleased. Because what I feel like happens, unless it's a facility that has an on-site manager, usually the property managers are either have multiple properties in your town or they're actually out of town. And they appreciate you telling them what's going on in their lot. So if they do have, say, a tenant complaint or somebody call in, they already know from you what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then they tell them. And so it keeps them from being on the defensive.
Well, it allows them to be proactive with their customers. mm-hmm. as well.
I mean, that's what we try to do. We mm-hmm. try to be proactive with our customers so they can be proactive with theirs.
And let's face it, with email today, it is so easy to do that. You can attach photos and mm-hmm. so forth. Having a method of communicating with your customers when you're not talking about a rate increase or something that's a negative on your end, it's always a positive to those. They love taking those phone calls. We all do.
Well, I find email is great because I have a copy, they have a copy for their files. If, you know, hey, you've got a couch behind your center, and then when they email me back, go ahead and pick it up. Or, you know, then I have a record that they knew about it. If they need photos, then we've emailed them photos, and then they can print it off and have it in their file.
Yeah, it's essentially a contract.
You know, if there is a tenant, well, why is my CAM charge more? Well, because you had XYZ, and here's a photo of it. And so they're not trying to recreate what happened either.
Yes. And one thing to bring up is it allows them, if they're a local property manager, let's say, and don't have the authority to make a decision to have something, in this case the couch, removed, they can easily forward that email with the photo up to their boss, who can then email back the confirmation. Now they have a record. They email it back to you. You have a record, and it's so much better keeping track that way. So anybody who isn't doing that via email, they sure need to.
Yeah, we work very well with property managers who are out of town because we communicate so well.
And let's face it, when you have that kind of communication going on, what you're also doing is it's sort of an insurance policy against the other sweeping contractor that comes in and offers them a 10% discount for getting their sweeping done. That's not nearly as attractive a discount because they don't know, you know, what kind of service they'll get, proactive service they'll get from the new guy.
Oh, yeah.
You, I know, have been active at National Pavement Exposition. That figured into my decision to have you be our June Contractor of the Month. What can you say to others about going to the National Pavement Shows and any other kind of ongoing training? Has that been helpful for you?
Yes, it is. Every year I go, oh, I really want to go. But I always have a good time when I'm there. I like meeting contractors from other cities. I always come away with really good ideas about things that I want to tweak. I might say, oh, where are you doing that? That's great. That's just, you know, a reinforcement that we're on the right track. Or it might be, ooh, we need to change that. Or, oh, we could do this better. You know, we're a female-owned company, and I am not a hands-on. I pick up a lot of trash myself personally, but I'm not out there at night, you know, emptying cans and stuff because just I feel like I'm pretty strong, but I'm not that strong. And so I know a lot of the companies that are male-owned, a lot of those, and I'm not saying female-owned companies can't have a strong mechanical background, but I personally don't have it. So I pick up a lot of things about how I want to tweak my equipment from talking to those guys who are more in the trenches with their equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, being female-based, I get that male part of it from those other sweep, because face it, I think I've only met a few other female-owned sweeping companies. What are there, like three or four of us? Or is that
right,
the show?
Yeah, not that many out there as a percentage. I always say that I think that's one of the strongest basis you can have for a sweeping company, though, is
well, I think I bring the mothering to it,
mm-hmm.
to the employees and to the accounts and to the service level. So I get a lot of those kinds of ideas and ways of thinking from being at the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are certainly a lot of tips and techniques and reinforcements that you can get. And you're an active participant and an active communicator, and that makes such a difference in that regard as well. What other things should we talk about? Have we covered it, you think, or is there something else you'd like to bring up?
You know, I do like sweeping. It's funny because every time I go out on a lot, and I'll get out on lots and porter with my guys and things like that, because I do think it's important as an owner to get out there and get your hands dirty sometimes, because it reminds you, when you sit behind a desk or you drive around and you look at parking lots, you get numb to what your people go through. So for me, like I said, I physically can't heave the trash cans out of the liners, but I fit, so I could definitely go porter and pick up trash. And so I do portering with my employees. I try to get out there at least once or twice a month because I think it helps build kind of camaraderie, but it also puts you back in touch with your lots. And then I drive the lots that we sweep. I try to only shop at centers that we do the sweeping.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have a choice between shopping in a mall that I sweep and a mall that I don't sweep, unless there's a specific store, I always go to the mall that I sweep. If two restaurants are side by side, if I sweep one of them, that's the one I go eat at. So I try to give back to my customers, and then I try to stay in touch with my employees by getting outside and getting dirty with them. Not every day, but you know, enough so that you appreciate what they do. Because, you know, you get behind a desk and it's easy to give orders and you forget what it's like to pick something gross up. In fact, I think the reason I have this cold is because I was out portering and I forgot my gloves.
Well, you can't be doing that. You know how important it is to have gloves, especially these days.
I know, you always have gloves.
You always have gloves.
I broke my own rule and see, I'm paying for it.
Well, there's a good lesson to everybody there. Maybe that's the spot we should end it.
They should be glucky because my voice is usually not this low.
Yes, that's your voice is usually easy to hear above the crowd. I can attest to that from National Pavement Expo.
Well, I hope I gave you what you needed.
You certainly did. And thanks so much, Christy. Chamberlain Power Sweeping is a very worthy contractor of the month for us. And if there are other contractors out there listening to this and you think that your sweeping company should be nominated to be a WorldSweeper.com Contractor of the Month, please do send an email, editor@WorldSweeper.com, or use any of the contact form links that are on the WorldSweeper.com website. We've been talking with Christy Schmidt, and Christy is president of Cincinnati-based Chamberlain Power Sweeping. They are our contractor of the month for June 2009. Thanks so much, Christy.
Thank you, Ranger.